Greetings, greetings, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, September the 18th, 2011. And this is the Mind of God program. And on this program, the Mind of God program, we endeavor daily, every month, every year, every hour, every minute, every second, we endeavor to climb up out of the mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. We want to exterminate the mentality of warfare, bloodshed, theft of land, wealth, and resources, destruction of the human family, destruction of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. We want to destroy that mentality. We want to climb up out of the mind of the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the 1%, 2% ruling class and families, Wall Street, the corporate elites, the plutocrats, the oligarchs. We want to leave that mentality. And we want to, at the same time, climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of Allah, the mind of Yehovah, the mind of Amen, Aminet, the mind of Namaste, Naskare, the mind of the Most High. And as we do so, we will see that all the barriers will be broken down. And we will see that this is a fight and a struggle between the oppressed, no matter your race, your gender, your class, ethnicity, national origin, no matter your religion, all of us, the oppressed. The fight is between us and the wicked oppressor, the ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. As we come into this mentality, we will come together, overcome all these barriers, and organize together for freedom, justice, and equality. The kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. We are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, religious, or revolutionary organization or institution that is of like mind. My beautiful sister, Venice, she is the producer, helper, engineer, facilitator, coordinator of this website and Mind of God program. I am thankful to the Most High for her, and I pray that the Most High continue to bless my beautiful sister, her children, and her family. You may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. yahlove@comcast.net. Now let us pause and give thanks and praises unto the Most High. As African people, as houses for the spirit and soul of the Almighty, all of us have that potential. We give praises unto the Most High Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, the Father is known as Ab. And so if you put that together with Yahweh, you get Yahweh Ab in the African Hebrew language for the Father. In the African Arabic language, that same Almighty Father Creator is known in the Arabic language, African Arabic language, as Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, that same Almighty Father Creator is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, that same Almighty Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. We also pause to give praises unto the Most High Mother, beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. Mother Holy Spirit is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is chokmah. That's a feminine word referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our beautiful mother, the Holy Spirit. In the African Hebrew language, mother is Aim. So if you put that together with Yahweh, you get Yahweh Aim for the mother, Holy Spirit, in the African Hebrew language as well. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your and my mother as well. Mother of creation, mother of the human family, mother of the universe, as Father Almighty is father of the same. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of Mother Holy Spirit are Ruach HaKadosh. The word Ruach is the word for spirit in the African Hebrew language, found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. That word Ruach is feminine, referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, her name, Mother Holy Spirit's name, is Illa, spelled I-L-L-A-H. And that word Illa is also an African Hebrew word. That word is feminine, referring to Mother Holy Spirit, and our wonderful Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu illa illaha illa Allah. You hear illa, and you hear Allah. Now that is normally translated as there is no God but God. But because we know that illa is the mother, and Allah is the father, we should say there is none, or there are none but our mother and our father. Because mother and father have come together to give birth, to give birth to creation out of the spirit of love. Give birth to sun, moon, stars, planet, the whole of creation, the universe, to give birth to the human family out of the spirit of love. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, they say grandmother and great mother and grandmother. So, sisters and brothers, it is my great honor and privilege to greet you, sisters and brothers of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the Black African Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of Jesus the Christ are Yahshua HaMashiach. Believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile Selassie I Rastafari was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say, Jah Rastafari, Haile Selassie I, as Jesus Christ, new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. This is to teach us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested in your, my, our personalities, thereby making all of our names the new names of Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that Christ in the last days, in the last days of Mystery Babylon, the United States of North America Empire, Europe, Rome, is modern day Babylon, and in this time Christ would manifest in the personality of revolutionaries all over this earth, who would be rising up to take the land, the wealth, the resources back from the wicked powers, the ruling class and families, the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the oligarchs and the plutocrats. You see, sisters and brothers in Africa, rising up with the spirit of Christ, you see sisters and brothers in the Middle East rising up with the Spirit of Christ and saying to NATO and saying to the United States of North America and saying to Britain and the powers of Europe, we want you out of our country. We want our land back. You see sisters and brothers rising up in Britain. You see sisters and brothers rising up in Europe saying we don't want austerity programs. We don't want you to cut programs for the people. We want to take control of our resources, take control of our lives. You see sisters and brothers inside of the United States of North America understanding that the banks, Wall Street, the oligarchs, the plutocrats, they're coming to the understanding that the politicians are selling us out left and right, doing the bidding ultimately of the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, implementing programs of austerity on the citizens of the United States of North America. And we're waking up and we're rising up. You saw the prison sisters and brothers, or brothers in prisons, rising up and saying they want their dignity back. They want to take control of their lives. Don't treat them like dogs. Don't treat them like that which is inhuman. Because whatever you find in the prison, you find worse in Wall Street. Who, and these who create warfare and bloodshed all over the earth and kill the human family by the millions. You see, sisters and brothers in San Francisco telling BART, you cut off the phones to try to stop protestation. Because the police, San Francisco BART police, killed a Caucasian brother, homeless brother, not long ago. Said he had a knife. Don't know whether he did or didn't. But they shot him and killed him. And he, if he had a knife, was not as much of a threat as a gun. This is a homeless brother, a homeless Caucasian brother. So the people, having already experienced the killing of Oscar Grant in, I think, the Oakland BART police, and looking at police brutality all over, another Caucasian brother, I can't remember his name, was killed by police somewhere in the United States of North America. And that same policeman had brutalized a Latino brother named Quinones. And that brother Quinones had his case before the courts for a year. And that same policeman killed a Caucasian brother. And so brother Quinones is coming out saying that same policeman brutalized him. This is the Spirit of Christ. Christ is manifesting right now in this time. We are not going to take the brutalizing of any portion of the human family. Whether you're black, brown, red, yellow, or white, we don't want to see any human being brutalized by the forces of the police, fraternal order of the police. When one is hurt, all of us are hurt. This is the day and time of the manifestation of Christ. And these are the last days of judgment in Babylon. And all of us are divine manifestations of divinity in this divine creation, in this divine universe, divine Milky Way, divine planet that we call Earth, in this divine house that we call our physical bodies. And all of us need to see the divinity in each and every one of us and fight for that divinity, because those in power do not see you as divine. They do not see you, no matter your color, race, ethnicity, class, creed, religion, national origin. The wicked ruling class do not see you as important. When it was just black people, it looked like suffering. And brown people, it looked like only suffering. And red people and yellow people, now we see the screws being put on our Caucasian sisters and brothers who make up the majority of the middle class in the United States of North America. So all of us, black, brown, red, yellow, and white, we're going to have to see each other as being important enough to stand up and fight on all of our behalf. We are yet in Revelation. We are yet looking at the world affairs through the eyes of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We want to continue in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, and also incorporate a lesson from September 11th, Sunday school lesson, September 11th, 2011, into the discourse. We are a week behind, a week later in the 10th one would say, anniversary of 9/11. And 9/11 was such an event that did change all of our lives, because those in power have used it for an excuse to cause us to support killing and bloodshed and justify it through this false flag operation that was created and orchestrated by the intelligence agencies of the United States of North America and Europe for the benefit of the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, Wall Street, the bankers, the corporate elites, so that they could continue to rape and pillage and steal and thieve land, wealth, and resources, and kill and kill and kill and kill. So, going back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. Now, we are yet in the midst of these seven letters written by Apostle John to the seven churches of Asia. We are on the letter of Pergamos, delivered to the angel of the church in Pergamos, angel, in this case, symbolic of the pastor. Angels act on behalf of the Most High. And the pastors, also called stars, and angels called stars, are to give light in absence of the sun. And so the S-U-N symbolizes the S-O-N, Yahshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ. So the pastors are to give that revolutionary light in absence of the physical body of Yahshua Christus, Jesus Christ. But we are the body of Christ, and we are they who act on behalf of Christ, bringing that spirit of revolution and delivering the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. So, these seven letters giving us seven aspects and characteristics of the black church, the black preacher, black church members. We are the original African Hebrews. We are the original church that came out of Africa. We are the original African Hebrews that came to be known as Christians. We are they who went through that great tribulation, trial, testing, persecution by Rome and Caesar Nero. And so these seven letters show us seven aspects and characteristics of ourselves, but also seven aspects and characteristics of any church, any believer, whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Krishna. These seven letters are showing us ourselves, no matter who we are. These seven letters pertain to all of the oppressed, all of us who have a love for the human family and wish to rise up and do something on behalf of the human family. These seven letters are showing us ourselves. Now, let me pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. Today's recording date is Sunday, September the 18th, 2011. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Now, Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. Jesus talking to the angel of the church in Pergamos. Pergamos means elevated. So all of us are elevated to stand up and fight this wicked Babylon system. All of us, when we come into our mission, when we come into the reality that we are here to defend and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, we will become elevated. Pergamos, that's a Greek word, means elevated. We will find that our mentality and spirit and soul are raised up to the level of thinking of the Most High, and we will organize and fight and manifest the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. Jesus tells Pergamos, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. And we talked last time about the seat of Satan. We talked about how in the Christian churches, we don't usually talk about Rome like we should. We talked about how There's a dispute as to the date that the book of Revelation was written. Some have a late date, some have an early date. The cut line or dividing line is AD 70. It was around that time that the African Hebrew temple was destroyed by Rome, because the beast, the 666, is Caesar Nero. Caesar Nero is the beast, 666. And many of the prophecies in Revelation, not all, but many, were fulfilled. This persecution was fulfilled in that time, but it's a mirror of this time. Rome, the Roman Empire, brutal, beast, Antichrist, Caesar Nero, and all of the Caesars were beasts and killers and cutthroats and thieves. And many of us don't know that the Caesars claim to be Lord and Savior. The Caesars claim that they brought civilization to the people and brought happiness and peace to the people. In the Greek language, you would say Christ. Christ is a Greek word that has to do with anointing, and anointing to stand up and fight and defend and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. So Caesar is making a false claim. Many would say, well, he is a Roman, he can't make that claim. But any politician who tells you that they are for the people, they're telling you that they are a Christ. Any politician, prime minister, president, leader, when they tell you that they are working on behalf of the people, that means they are a Christ. That's what Christ means. So when we find that they do not work on behalf of the people, they are Antichrist. And so Caesar was making the false claim that he was a Christ, a deliverer of the people. So Jesus, Yahshua, rises up. And the disciples testified that Yahshua, Messiah, Jesus Christ, that Yahshua is Christ. Yahshua is Messiah. That Yahshua is Messiah. That Jesus is Messiah, or Jesus is Christ. As a direct political affront and protestation to Caesar, Caesar being a false one, because Caesar is a colonizer, enslaver, killer, and a thief. So Yahshua comes with justice, freedom, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. So Jesus, knowing that Caesar, Jesus knowing Rome, dictates to John that Jesus speaking, he says, I know thy works, Pergamos, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And I believe that word seat has to do with throne. Yeah, throne seat. Thronos is the word in the Greek language. 2362 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. So Jesus is saying, I know where the throne of Satan is. You see, this is so interesting, because we talk in passing about how Satan took Jesus up on a high place, and Satan told Jesus that he had, meaning Satan, had the kingdoms in his hand. And he offers the kingdoms to Jesus, but Jesus says, no, he's only going to honor the Most High Father and not honor Satan, and eventually tell Satan, get thee behind me. But how does Satan get power of the kingdoms of the earth? For that understanding, we have to understand where the throne of Satan was at that time. And the throne of Satan was in Rome. The throne of Satan was in the throne room of Caesar, Nero, and the Caesars. So Jesus is telling you, I know Caesar, Nero. Caesar Nero is going to destroy the African Hebrew temple. Caesar Nero and the Caesars and the Roman Empire are going to come into the African Hebrew nation and come all over where the Christians are, inspired by the African Hebrews that are called African, that are called Christians. These original disciples who are Africans influencing the church, influencing Europeans and Asiatics to stand up and fight Rome. That would bring persecution. Jesus is saying, I know thy works. Pergamos, and I know where Satan's seat is. I know Rome. I know Caesar. And he says, holdest fast, thou holdest fast my name. But let's look at today. Where is the seat of Satan? The seat of Satan is yet in Rome. Pope, the title of the Pope in the Latin language is 666. And Rome, Vatican City, holds so much resources thieved all over the earth from the Roman Empire. They hold so much knowledge thieved once again all over the earth, especially in Africa, stolen from Africa. Rome, Vatican City, they hold our symbols and they hide them away from the people. And they disconnect Africans and the human family from those symbols. And then they bring the symbols out and give you a slanted idea of what it means. But they hold our knowledge. They hold our wisdom. They hold our understanding. They are the religious seat yet of this world. All of your European churches spring out of or were spawned out of the Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Empire. And so they, the Rome, the Pope, and Vatican City are that religious house for the Europeans. And the banks of London, headed by the Rothschilds, are that financial house. And the United States of North America, they are that military house. And so together, we see that they make up the seat of Satan. How do we know? Because together they perpetrate warfare and bloodshed and cause us to join in on this bloodshed and warfare through consumerism, through materialism, because we get a TV, we get clothes, we get different things that we can buy, and we don't care that these minerals and resources come to us because of warfare, because of bloodshed. So we all participate in idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is covetousness, according to Paul. What is an idol but that which is made up of that which comes from the earth, that which we call raw mineral resources? Diamonds, rubies, stone, wood, gold, and so on. So we consume these items. Dr. King talked about consumerism and materialism and militarism, and Minister Malcolm X talked about the same, and Elijah Muhammad and Marcus Garvey and all of our wonderful leaders talked about this wicked system, how it just destroys and kills. And what they do is come up with philosophies that divide the people. Black, brown, red, yellow, white, America, South America, Middle East, Africa, Asia, Europe. They come up with philosophies. The Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, the synagogue of Satan, Wall Street, the corporate elites, the heads of government, financial, and educational institutions. They all come together through their think tanks and give us philosophies of division and demonize each other. So if they kill Muslims, I don't care, because I think that they are my enemy, when in reality, it's the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, Wall Street, the bankers, the corporate elites, heads of government, financial, and educational institutions are the real enemies, and they cause us to think that we are the enemy of each other through demonizing some foreign entity, people, or government, so that we may be maneuvered into supporting bloodshed and warfare. This is idolatry. This is covetousness, because those that head this the synagogue of Satan, those that head this wicked system, are covetous of land, wealth, and resources. And every day they think of new ways to cause us to buy into their sick mentality. So Jesus knows that in this day and time, the seat of Satan, the throne of Satan, is Rome, Britain, United States of North America, the state of Israel. All of these make up today's seat of Satan. The ruling class and families of all of those entities come together with the mind of Satan. They're the synagogue of Satan. They are an assembly of Satan. And they construct every day new means and old means renewed again of killing and thieving. And Jesus continues to say, thou holdest fast my name. All right. This is some deep scripture, sisters and brothers, when we understand Jesus is talking to Pergamos, who are elevated. He's giving them some encouragement. And I believe he's going to give them a little bit of criticism soon. But he's giving them encouragement right now. And he's telling them, you hold fast my name. So, sisters and brothers, revolutionaries, you and we that are holding fast the name of Jesus, we are to be commended for that. We're showing that we are operating in an elevated mentality and mindset, an elevated consciousness. But let's go deeper into this hold fast my name. Now, the word holdest. 2902 on the Greek side of your Strong's holdest fast. Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. Let's see what that is. Holdest fast. 2902. Kratio is the word in the Greek language. To have power. To be powerful. To be chief. To be master of. To rule. To get the possession of, to become master of, to obtain. So, through the holding fast to the name of Jesus, we gain power. We, the oppressed, are powerless. We appear to have no power. We appear to have no friend. We appear to have no advocate. We appear to be left out to just die, and the ruling class and families can just kill and kill and kill. But when we hold fast to the name of Jesus, many preachers preach this, but they don't know what this really means. We're to, the name of Jesus is to give you power over the wicked ruling class and ruling families. Many preachers will say power over Satan, but they don't tell you that Satan is ruling through the wicked ruling class and ruling powers and ruling families. And that through them, through Wall Street, through the corporate elites, through those heads of government, financial and educational institutions, Satan rules and exhibits his power. So when we really hold fast to Jesus' name, and we have to go into the meaning of the name, we will find that we will have power over the wicked ruling class and ruling families. Case in point, Barack Obama has been talking about serving up Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and destroying it. When he says he's going to reform it, he means he's going to compromise and capitulate to the Republicans and destroy it, because he's working on behalf of the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, working on behalf of the wicked ruling class and families. And the directive has come that you bend, bow, compromise and capitulate to the Republicans and put Americans on an austerity program and destroy the people, squeeze the people, suck the people, bleed the people. But it seems that maybe the voices of the people have become so loud, led by people like Bernie Sanders, independent congressman out of Vermont, I believe he is, and others who are telling Barack Obama, do not destroy Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. So it looks like that Social Security, he may be taking that off the table, maybe. We're going to see when he makes his speech. Barack Obama will be speaking Thursday, I believe, September the 22nd. But I'm trying to get us to understand that we really do have power if we come together and raise our voices together and defend the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. So, thou holdest fast to my name. Let me see. Holdest fast to my name. Let's look up that word name. 3686 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. Name. universally of proper names, the name that is used for everything which the name covers. Everything the thought or feeling of which is aroused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, remembering the name. One's rank, authority, interests, pleasure, command, excellences, deeds, etc. All of this is wrapped up in all of our names. We should exhibit a certain kind of authority. When people hear our names, they should think of certain interests that we have. Pleasure should be received when one mentions our names. Our names should have the power to make commands and righteous commands. Persons reckoned up by name. So, what is reckoned when someone mentions your name or my name? The cause or reason named. On this account, because he suffers as a Christian for this reason. So, Christian becomes a name. And the word Christian, having to do with that spirit to stand up and fight and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. This is what our names should be. Now, what name, though? We got to deal with what name. The name we're referring to is Jesus. There's power in that name, but we know not how there's power in the name. Many preachers preach about Jesus, but how many of them tell you what the name means? You see, in the African Hebrew language, the name Jesus is Yahshua. Mother Mary, whose name is Miriam in the African Hebrew language, Mother Miriam did not speak Greek. So Mother Miriam did not name her son Jesus. That's the translation we get in the Greek language. But speaking Hebrew or speaking Aramaic, which is a sister language, like the ghetto portion of the Hebrew language, like you have English, but then you have ghetto English. So Aramaic seems to me to be the ghetto Hebrew. So Jesus' name in the African Hebrew language is Yahshua. It is found under the number 3091 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. And Yahshua literally means Yehovah is salvation, or Yehovah saves. But what does that mean? How does Yehovah save? How, this is the Most High, Yehovah. How does Yehovah save? How is Yehovah salvation? What are the deeper meanings of the word Yahshua, the name that Jesus is in the African Hebrew language found under the number 3091? What are the deeper meanings? When you study the words above 3091 and below, you will see that the names, the definitions of Yahshua are health, wealth, deliverance, liberty. You see, the people, the masses, the oppressed, the poor, the afflicted, the needy are lacking in health, are lacking in wealth, and lacking in liberty, and need to be delivered from the wicked, rotten, oppressor, ruling class and families, Rome then, the United States of North America, Britain, and Rome still today, Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, the bankers, Wall Street, all of these wicked powers, presidents, prime ministers who work for Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. These are the wicked who have taken our health and our wealth and taken away our liberty. And we need to be delivered from them. And Yahshua also means vengeance, in that the Most High is seeking vengeance on the wicked ruling class and ruling families. So this is what it means to hold fast to the name Jesus. Hold fast to freedom, justice, and equality. We're taking our first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.